that stuff. I believe that.
Well, I don't know about that, but I do know, there was a situation that's talked about very, very little where there were some dignitaries getting sick over some sound waves, I forgot what you call that syndrome. Somebody can look that up if you will, but it was making people very, very ill.
Havana syndrome.
Yeah, Havana syndrome.
Is that it? Okay.
Yeah. And so I, you know, that is some frightening stuff too. Man has done a whole lot of experimentation on man. It's like they take, and I tell you what, they will take certain people and make guinea pigs out of them. Look at the Tuskegee experiment when they were giving these men syphilis, black men.
Yes.
Okay, as an experiment. They've been experimenting. They are doctors, and the way that women were being treated years and years and years ago by these kook doctors, you know? And I think that's why they said these guys are practicing. Yeah. Okay.
Doctors is practicing medicine.
That's what I'm saying. That's exactly what I'm saying. But anyway, I've got something I want to play for you guys because this is what I think. It's deep rooted in our society and it's going to take a while, if ever, to get rid of it. And I'm talking about racism. And racism, now, we say white people racist. Black people, you got some black racists out here too, okay? If nobody gets off the hook, you got Chinese, just everybody. And I tell you what, and I think that this is done on purpose by the powers to be, because keep in mind, remember I was playing something by Jane Elliott a few weeks ago. I have something new on her right now. And something that she said is mighty profound. She said there's only one race, and that's the human race. But see, you take the people, the so-called people in power, they don't want there to be one race. They don't profit that way. Their whole idea is that as long as they pit one so-called race against another one and the other against the other, nobody likes anybody. Okay? Nobody likes anybody. And so if they keep you fighting down here, then you can't pay attention to what they're doing at the top. You think about that. It's divide and conquer. That's always been the strategy in this country. If you don't believe me, look it up. But anyway, let's do this. I'm going to play a little bit of this, and then we're going to come back after a few minutes of this. All right? Let's see what we got.
Thank you for joining us at home. We are dedicating the next few episodes to conversations on race.
Our goal for this podcast from the very beginning was to simply have meaningful conversations about the foundations of home life, because we really believe that the values we learn at home are those that we often live by and carry with us into the world.
So we would like to share with you our journey in learning more about the systemic racism that has brought us to this day. Sadly, we as a whole have let atrocities against all minorities, particularly black people, compound for far too long. And in our ignorance, the lives of many innocent people have been tragically lost to violence.
We hope that by sharing our learning process, we can encourage you to look deeper as well, to reflect on our own biases, to be curious and challenge our own ideologies, and to listen and to open our minds and hearts to just have these difficult conversations. And we're confident that this is the path to positive change and that it can all start with each one of us right at home.
We'd like to thank each of our experts in this series. We look to them for insight on how we can better communicate and for the tools each of us can practice to eradicate racism and create a just society for all. We're truly thankful for their selflessness to share their knowledge with us.
In this episode, we speak with Jane Elliott on One Human Race. She is an anti-racism activist and a diversity educator, giving lectures all over the U.S. and overseas.
If you'd like to learn more, we're going to be sharing links to resources on our website, athomepodcast.net, and on social media. And listen to our other guests in this series, Dr. Howard Stevenson on racial literacy,
and Kenny Leon on the power of story to change the world.
This is Jane Elliott. Well, thank you again for taking the time to chat with us. We just wanted to start off by just hearing a little bit about your background, where you started as a teacher, what inspired you to be a teacher, and how you got into diversity education.
The reason you're calling me is because I was inspired to do what I do on the day after Martin Luther King Jr. was killed, and I had to explain to my third graders in all white, all Christian, Riceville, Iowa, why Martin Luther King Jr. was in the street and what it was he was protesting. Incidentally, that was 52 years ago. He was protesting 52 years ago the same things that blacks are protesting in Minneapolis, Minnesota today at this time. Only they have even more right and reason to protest now because we have television networks that are re-showing the picture of that white skinhead cop with his knee on a black man's neck with three other cops holding him down. We can show that over and over and over and preface it showing it with saying, this may be discomforting to some people. If it is, please don't watch it. No, what they should do is say, if you want to see this ugly sight, go Google it. But we will not show this on our network again. Because what we are using this for, whether or not they realize what they're doing, they are using that image to terrify young black males and their mothers. When he turns on television, and his mother turns on television, or anybody else turns on television to watch the news today, one of the first things you're going to see is a black man lying on the ground for 9 minutes while they choke the life out of him. That tells black males, if you do something that we disapprove of, this is what can happen to you.
Mm-hmm.
And that's exactly the message we don't want to send to anyone.
With what you're saying right there, how do you find this day and age where we are overly connected, whether it's through a TV medium or whether it's through social media, how do you find that quick access to these terrible visuals that people can see are affecting people?
We don't see all the terrible things that are happening. We only put on television the things that we are going to get the biggest reaction from. But ugly things are happening to black children and other children of color, but certainly to black children. It is an invasion of a child's privacy, and it is child abuse when a teacher stands up in front of the classroom and says, when I see people, I don't see people as black or brown or red or yellow. I just see people as people. And someday some innocent child is going to raise his or her hand and say, why didn't you include white in the list of colors you don't see? They don't do it. And someday some teacher is going to say to a group of students, I don't care whether you're black, brown, red, yellow, or green with purple polka dots, I'm going to treat you all alike. Earthlings don't come green with purple polka dots. And when you lump all people of color in with those who are green with purple polka dots, you are saying very plainly to sensitive students, your color is like a non-earthling. My color, on the other hand, is right. People say to me, well, aren't you a white woman? Can you tell where my shirt leaves off and my skin ends? Can you? What color is my shirt?
Yeah, it's white.
White. Then what color is my skin?
It's off-white. It's not white.
It's not even off-white. It's not off-white. It's not tan and speckled and spotted, but it is not white. And how long has this been going on? Do you know?
Well, I mean, I don't know the exact dates, but I know that this has been going on far too long.
I'll give you the exact date because you should know it. It started in 1492 when the Spanish Inquisition was going on and Torquemada was looking for a group that he could kill, but he couldn't tell what their religion was. And so they killed numerous Christians before they realized that you couldn't tell a person's religion by looking at them. So they had to find a visible way to tell whether or not people deserve to die. And he set upon skin color. That was in 1492, the same year that Columbus discovered America. That's how long this has been going on. This hasn't been going on forever. This is something that white people created. And I have on a shirt this sentence. God created human beings. God created a race, one race, the human race. Human beings created racism. We created racism in the late 1400s. Anything you create, you can destroy. We could destroy racism in two generations if we decided to. But you have to realize there's a lot of money in racism. And if you don't believe it, then you take a look at the book, The System, Who Rigged It and How to Fix It, written by
Robert Reich.
Robert Reich wrote the book.
So how do we talk about one single race, one human race, while celebrating all of our differences?
We can celebrate differences, absolutely. I think differences are wonderful. People of different colors have a totally different outlook on life than I have. However, you can't talk freely about race as long as you have free race in this country. Until you are freed of the idea of several different races, you can't talk freely about race. First, you have to decide that we're all members of the same race. You and I, the two of you and I, are 30th to 50th cousins because we, all of us, had the same ancestor back there between 300,000 and 500,000 years ago. So it's time for us to stop regarding different color groups as different races. The human race is composed of many different colors, many different genders, many different gender orientations, many different ages, many different religions, many different ethnicities. But to talk about one another as if we are members of different races has to be stopped. The next time a white woman walks up to me and says, "I don't see color, I'm colorblind," I'm going to say to her, and I probably have already told you this because I've told it to everybody who's called me this morning. I said to her, and I will say to everyone who says that to me, "It's too bad that you have an eye problem. Let's get you an appointment with an optometrist so that we can get your eyes fixed." What they are saying is, "I am uncomfortable trying to communicate with somebody who has this unfortunate discoloration in their skin." Now, let me tell you something. The first modern human beings were black, and they had to be, or they couldn't have survived at or near the equator. And as those brilliant black people left the equator and moved farther from that area, as they moved away from that area, their bodies were exposed to less and less sunlight, so their bodies produced less and less melanin. Because the farther north they got from the equator, the more they needed the sunlight in order to help their bodies develop and use vitamin D. So people from northern climes are very pale skinned, but they are not white, and they are not members of another race. And they did not originate in the Caucasus Mountains. So quit calling them Caucasian. Mm. We aren't Caucasian. We're African.
I'm going to stop it right there, and we're going to comment on this. Jane Elliott, she is powerful. Wow. And also, she has received death threats. Many.
I believe it.
She talks about that, right? Because, you know, going back a few years, she would have been lynched right next to our brothers or sisters for saying what she is saying. But right. Now I want you, Dr. I'm going to start with Dr. Demery, because Dr. Demery, I think among all of us, you've traveled around the world, I think at least twice. And what she was saying about how where we originated from, and she's talking about moving away from the equator, and the farther north from the equator, how it becomes pale, your pigment becomes more pale, and they're pale people. But again, the only person I've seen close to being white was an albino. Okay.
That part.
That ain't close. They really are white.
They white.
Okay.
Right. Come on.
And that's exactly right. Okay. And there was one, she was a black girl in our school. She was albino. Okay. But anyway, Dr. Demery, I want you to comment on her. Anything that you want to pick out of what she said.
I want to begin with a story. When you read the story in Exodus, when the Hebrew people left Egypt, and they went into the promised land and all the things that happened. Finally, what took place, Moses' wife, who was a black woman, it was said that they were upset with him because he married this woman, only because she was not of the same tribe. If we can think for a moment, there's a point in time where race was not an issue in this world. Biblically speaking, there was a point in time where race was not an issue. And it didn't begin at Babel. So don't use Tower of Babel as an example. We're talking about where race did not make a difference. It happened after Sinai. The Jews were not Jews until they became a people of the book on Sinai. They were not called Jews before that. They were called Hebrews. After Sinai, they started to become called Jews. Go back and look at it. As I would always say, And as someone said a moment ago, Paul is the one that said, test me and try me, know me, go back and look at what I've said. Paul always said, don't take my word for it. Go back and test what I've told you.
Right, right, right.
So go back and look at that whole issue where race was never an issue. Race became an issue after Mount Sinai, because there was at Sinai Africans, black Africans, Hebrews, Sumerians, and all different races of people. They didn't have a problem with one another. They didn't separate one another. They never said, well, you're better than me and I'm better than you and all this kind of crazy mess that we've developed. Now, I've used this story before and I will use it again. We can talk about, and as she said, one of the most hated races in the world are black folks. And I've told you the reason why.
Yeah.
Because we carried the cross of Jesus.
All right.
Cyrene carried the cross.
Right.
Cyrene was a black man. He was Cyrenian, which is today modern Sudan.
Yep.
And how dark the Sudanese people are. So there was no question whether or not Simon the Cyrene was black. Simon the Cyrene's mom helped raise Paul the Apostle. Go back and look at it. Don't take my word.
Preach.
That's where race started to become an issue. They got upset because they found out Jesus was a dark-skinned Jew.
And preach.
We got to hurry up and change this stuff now. Jesus is a white man, blonde-haired and blue eyes, look like one of the Beach Boys.
Nope.
That's not the case. He had hair like lamb's wool.
Preach.
He had skin unto fine brass.
Preach.
He took Danny's arm and put a little baby oil on it.
Gloss him up. Get him shaved.
He said, race, there was a time where race was an issue. But when Jesus came on the scene, the Savior of the world.
Yes, Lord.
To come and say, look, we can't have no savior of the world be no black man. No, that can't be.
So they were
the beginning of the racism. That's where it started.
They knew what they were doing. This is what
they
I've been
saying. They were establishing superiority when they changed Jesus' color.
Come on
That's
now.
That's what I wanted to say.
Come on.
By brainwashing us and thinking that they are superior.
That's right.
And that's still going. You know what I talked about when we talked about Jesus with the lamb, and y'all laughed at me. Thank you, Dr. Demery.
No. No, actually, Danny, do you know, I haven't seen this in a while, but somebody told me that this still exists in some places where I remember growing up and walking into the foyer of my church, and there was a picture of a white Jesus there. And for years, until I learned better and found out the truth, I'm saying, wait a minute. You know, so it even started there, you know, where the brainwashing began, because that didn't happen by accident.
Nope.
Okay. No. Go ahead, Dan.
You know, just the other day, I was looking on the Afro. I happened up on the African channel, and the music was kind of nice, and it was broadcasted from Africa. But in the video, when they showed this picture of this white Jesus,
oh, Lord,
I was just totally offended. The music was good, but I was offended to a certain degree. To the point, I didn't want to even listen to it anymore.
That's my point.
Because I'm saying, how can you, in this time, be broadcasting something, a video, how can you make a video and choose to use that particular picture? But when you think about it, most of our, during my time as a teenager, everybody had a picture of
white Jesus.
The white Jesus and probably Martin Luther King.
Yeah, they did.
Phones and them forks.
Right. But so, if you think about it, the Passion of the Christ. We all love that movie, but that was a white dude. There were white people in that movie.
I ain't like it.
Nobody have hair like lamb's wool in that movie.
Speak for yourself, sister. I didn't like it.
So you have the intelligence and the knowledge like what Reverend Demery has experienced, and the willingness to go in there and to read certain mm-hmm. information so that you can know the truth and realize how much deception has been placed in our minds and in our hearts over the last, I ain't been there 100 years, but it's been going on for 100 years since I've been here.
Mm-hmm. Now, who was that Mel Gibson that did Passion of the Christ?
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay, now.
He was the one directing it, but the man mm-hmm. who played it, he's an actor that I like. I can't think of his
Richard,
name. He was in this show called Person of Interest. I love that show. Mm-hmm. But he's white. He's a white dude.
And, right. Well, you know, I don't want to have anything to do with anything that's produced by, acted, directed by, or what, or acted in or directed by Mel Gibson. Cause you know, he's a stone racist anyway. All right. Yep. He had, as a matter of fact, he had a person, what it had to do with his wife or girlfriend or something.
I thought he was married because they don't use birth control. And they got like a bunch of kids, if I'm not mistaken.
Or a daughter of his or something like that. And he was using, a racist slurs against her boyfriend or something. I mean, just awful stuff, right? So I won't watch any of it. I used to watch him and Danny Glover. What was that movie they used to do together?
48 Hours.
What was that?
Lethal Weapon.
Yeah, I used to like those movies, but after that, won't watch it. Nope, brother, you out of here. Yep. I don't deal with that. But let's get back to what she was saying about, you know, the different races and things like that. And I want to paint a picture that is far different from what we are witnessing right now and how dumb man really is. I mean, how dumb man really is. And I'm talking about anybody who wants to be racist against anybody or discriminate against anybody. You're really hurting yourself. There's enough money and resources in this world that there should not be a person starving. There shouldn't be anybody homeless. Mm-hmm. I mean, how are you going to have somebody that's sitting on $20, $30, $40 billion and there might be a few trillionaires out here too, right? Mm-hmm. Several millionaires out here. And then you got people out here starving. Okay. Mm-hmm. And the first one to celebrate Christmas, and there's nothing about Christ in their lives at all. They celebrate Christmas by getting that new car or getting the kids a whole bunch of toys that that child want. You know, their laptops, computers, cell phone, whatever, right? Right? And then you've got, on the other side of the track, you got children that may or may not have anything to eat. And that shouldn't happen at all. You know, and I'm thinking like this. If I were a wealthy person, one thing that I would do, I would definitely donate to somebody or something or some program or build a house or do something for someone that has less than. And also, children should have heat this winter. Okay, they should have food this winter. They should have clothing this winter, you know. And then I tell you something else which can cause some problems there. When this child over here has everything and they have nothing. How does that affect them? Dr. Sims?
It affects you greatly because even when I was coming up as a young woman going to school, and I didn't come up rich, that's for sure. There was 12 of us children, and we had to go to the Goodwills and do the hand-me-downs and what have you. Mm-hmm. And I told you about, until we found out what Christmas was about, what we received. Mm-hmm. We didn't have no bragging rights, okay? Mm-hmm. When you heard everybody else bragging about what they received.
Mm-hmm.
And then you heard those who were ungrateful
mm-hmm.
for the things that they received. We were more grateful for the little that we appreciated that. Mm-hmm. We have a society now where, and I saw something, a commercial, which really bothered me. And they were shopping and frantically shopping for Christmas. And then the persons that were out shopping says, oh, I may not have spent enough on this item. They may not appreciate it because perhaps they may know what it is. So I think I need to go back and spend more money on a gift. Mm-hmm. And I thought the concept The concept is so twisted,
isn't it?
Yes.
We were appreciated to get an orange or an apple,
right?
To the point where these kids, these young folks nowadays, they are trained now, brainwashed into getting. And I'm telling you, media has a whole lot to do with that.
That's right.
Okay. Brainwashing this kid, these children, or these young adults, that if they don't get certain items at their request, they throw a temper tantrum. You've had parents lose, go back in history, lose their lives behind spoiled brats, okay, because they were given everything. William, I'm with you about building homes and things like that and providing food. However, I don't want to use a pagan holiday to do it with.
Right.
No, no, I didn't say that.
And I'm not saying that, and I'm making my declaration, because people do things too, now to be seen.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like a person has to have a heart to do it, because they want the notoriety. I would rather give you a big basket of food or whatever. You don't have to call my name. You hear me? And so people, they want their names in lights. And this, that glorified platforms that they have themselves on, it's not given to me, a lot of them not given on a sincere heart. But my thing is, Christmas to me is such a pagan holiday. They done passed by Thanksgiving. Okay, get your little turkey and that's it, and that's it. We gone. So now they are focused on Halloween is making the most money now, and Christmas.
Isn't that something? I didn't know Halloween was making
a parallel with a demonic day, okay, that is full of hell. Then you go for the day that's typifying the birth of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. How can you even compare the two? You cannot.
That's right.
But that's what society is doing. And again, we cannot get away from that spirit of deception. That is what is happening. The word of God said people would rather believe a lie than the truth.
Yeah.
Amen.
And
that's
it is what it is. And can I read these couple scriptures, William?
Go on, please.
That goes with, and I had to look it over because I thought about this, and I need to read this because when I saw this, I said, whoa, okay. Proverbs 6:16 says, there are six things that the Lord hates.
Seven.
That are an abomination to him. Haughty eyes, lying tongue. The hands that shed innocent blood, we got a lot of that going on.
Oh, boy.
A heart that devises wicked plans, we got a lot of that going on. Feet that make haste to run to evil, a lot of that going on. A false witness who breathes out lies, we sure got 45 in there. Come on. And one who sows discord among brothers.
Amen.
Romans 16:18 says, for such persons do not serve our Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
With their own appetites, and by smooth talking and flattery, they deceive the heart of the naive.
Yep.
And amen. That's what we are talking about. And that is in the Word of God. If people would study all this stuff that's going on, it's right in front of your face.
Mm-hmm.
Right, the Bible
talks about that we are not supposed to entertain these things.
Right. I love the scripture from Proverbs. I love all scripture, of course, but I love the scripture from Proverbs because I think, you know, if those people who shot up that LGBTQ, club, had read it, they would have realized why you're so busy worrying about the abominable sins that they're committing. You need to realize that seven sins are an abomination to the Lord, and ain't not one of them on that list got nothing to do with homosexuality. Yes, he does talk about it being an abomination in another place, but he said a lying tongue.
Big time.
Every human being that can communicate, I don't care if you sign it, everybody done lied at least
lied.
One time.
Mm-hmm. Lying, some of them.
As a matter of fact, psychologists consider it a milestone when a toddler learns how to lie. It is a milestone in that child's life. And it's funny because I'll give you a story. You can tell when your kids learn a lot. AJ and Alex, you can tell when that little cutoff comes. AJ couldn't tell a lot. He used to just be like, because he didn't know how to do it. Alex, one time, he was a toddler and he was potty training. And so we had left him home with my mom and we came back. Alex ran from the bathroom carrying his little, step stool. From his room carrying his little step stool. And I mean, they were really moving. And so it was like, Alex, what was all that for? What were you doing? Tears just started streaming down his eyes. He went to the bathroom, got his step stool, took it back to his room, climbed up on the step stool, then climbed up on the chest of drawers and just stood there looking straight ahead, tears streaming down, because he didn't know how to lie yet. But when we do figure out how to lie, then we all, every last one of us, are committing an abominable sin. Mm-hmm. When you are full of pride, when you the one who wins in spades, when you the one who wins in sorry or whatnot, and you go to clowning, the Lord hates that. I mean, it's so simple. We all do that. Every human being commits a sin that's an abomination at some point in your life. Mm-hmm. So you ain't got no room to talk about nobody else that's committing a sin that's an abomination either. And such were some of you, as the Bible would put. Let's just put it that way.
Well, let me ask you a question. So this guy, the motivation for killing these people was because they were committing a sin.
Well, and he just committed one, so did he blow his brains?
That's my point.
Hell too, because it is what it is.
Because he just committed murder. He just shed.
That's exactly right. That's my point exactly. Didn't we did a show? It was me. I don't think Dr. Sims was with us. I know Dr. Dimmer was and you were. And we did a show and it lasted, I forgot how many, about 4 weeks. And it was just about lying, Danny. And the devastating effects that lying can do to the individual that lies. Mm-hmm. And I think that if you lie enough, it can cause, I think we read something about.
It causes anxiety. It causes body to go out of whack.
And a mental, develop into a mental health condition, right?
Yep.
Exactly right. It is really deep. It is really deep.
What you don't understand is this. Abomination simply means unnatural. Okay.
Exactly. Okay now.
It means unnatural. So when you are speaking the truth, that is the natural inclination mm-hmm. that you are to have. It's natural for us to speak the truth because why? Our God, whose image we are made in, mm-hmm. he is the way, the truth, capital T, and mm-hmm. the life. There is no shadow of turning in him. He doesn't lie. God is not a man that he should lie, nor the son of man that he should repent. So because we are made in his image, it is not our natural inclination to mm-hmm. lie.
Mm-hmm.
Then you lie, on the other hand, you are acting unnaturally in the way that you were created. So your body responds. That's why you have lie detectors. They don't work on everybody because you got some folks so deep in their skin a lie that they are cool. They just a cool lie.
Right.
But there are, for the most part, there are indications when the rest of us lie. Our bodies reject it. Our heart races. We can't look folks in the eye. People get fidgety. Like she was saying, the anxiety, it is totally, it's abhorrent to your body to do something that it is not in its natural state to do. Okay. And that is what lying is. It's not something that we are supposed to do. But when you're telling the truth, nothing happen. Your heart rate stays steady. You can look somebody square in the eye. You know, unless of course you got some type of problem with, you know, with your self-esteem or whatever, but for the most part, you can do all these things. You can be still. You can have a conversation because your body is not being forced to do something that it wasn't created to do in the first place.
Right, right. And going, Danny, you about to say?
No, I was just saying then in this world, so many people have tried to create what they want to call the white lie.
Yes. Preach.
Now, there ain't no such thing, but a lot of times I found myself in an effort to try to protect someone that I love not being forthright coming with them. Then they turn around and call you a lie. And I said, okay, I really didn't lie to you.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't tell you everything.
Mm-hmm.
But you asked me, an unnatural question.
Right. Don't ask me if your butt's big. Don't ask me if you look good in that dress when you know it's ugly. Don't
that's
ask
right.
me what I think about your shoes.
Come on.
Right.
Asking these questions because you already know that there's a problem.
Yeah, that's exactly right.
It's put me in a bad position.
Yeah.
So now I'm to the point, and at this time in my life, I'm just going to give it to you. Then you're going to look at me and tell me how insensitive I am.
Yeah. Oh, man. They want it both ways, Danny. They want it both ways.
Well, a whole lot of people are walking in a narcissistic mindset anyway.
Oh, boy. And
just be real.
And, you know, and that's a problem.
You lie to them, and then if you tell them the truth, they'll blame you for the truth that they already know.
No.
Make you feel bad for telling them what they already looked in the mirror and found out.
The world has the doctrine.
So right.
The world has the doctrine that it's kinder to lie. I mean, you see it on television shows and movies. The person who doesn't lie, you know, tells the quote unquote white lie is a liar. So you come to me wearing this, you know, dress that is really ugly. And you ask, does it look good on you? And it's my fault because you asked me for my honest opinion.
They knew it already.
Look here.
They wouldn't ask. Like my daughter comes up to me sometime, William, and I thank her for being blunt. She like her mama, okay?
Uh-oh.
I'm just saying. How's this makeup look, Mom? You got a little too much on here, okay?
Right.
Well, I knew that when I looked in the mirror. But I wanted her to co-sign my ulterior spirit, okay? Mm-hmm. And she said, nope, mm-mm. And I found myself, well, it looks nice anyway. Then my mind got to thinking, she's sure right.
Exactly.
Yeah, and I tell you what, a brother better not come to me with a pink suit on and ask me how it looked.
Oh, stop.
Okay.
It's flaming hot on you, partner.
That's the answer, Ann. That's the answer. Hey, you flaming today, bro? You flaming?
Right.
Oh yeah.
Can I just say one thing about the LGBT? And thank you for bringing that out because you know I was we were talking about it on Thursday. Remember, William? And my thing is, and I had to address the school because God has a way of getting your attention and making corrections because he hung around with people who had inner issues.
Right.
It's not the person, it's that had gravitated towards them. And me being a mental health specialist, I have to clear this up and I'll put it on media land. Everybody that I've come across that have swung in the alternative lifestyle has had something happen to them down through the years, whether it'd been through a family member, abused and what have you. And it's not that they want to be that way. It's that they chose to be that way for what I say, protection's sake, a lot of them. And I'm just saying based on my analogy of them. So I cannot hold them responsible or hate them. God says, I just hate the abominable deed. He does not hate the child. Still his son and his daughter. And he still loves them. And he has a way of redirecting some things. Now, I got an issue when they say Jesus was gay. I got an issue when they say that Jesus made a mistake on this level and this level. Issue with that, okay? And so my thing is this. We have to look at people, each other, a little bit different. Mm-hmm. The Bible says, by the grace of God, there go I. Mm-hmm. God checked this girl because he said, have I so long saved you from your foolishness?
You
forget and you're going to look at somebody else negative in their walk, you'd have to understand. That's why I had to pursue the mental health because it is a mental thing, the disturbances that one has been through. And I'm repenting on media land because I get real carried away sometimes, but I suck it back in because God checked this girl real quick, okay?
Right.
Because I have no right to judge anybody. My thing is to share love. My thing is supposed, my mission is to direct them. You find a brother in the fault, lift them up. We trying to make these faults light. There's no light faults. Just let's get together and love them like we want to be loved.
Yeah.
Right.
Amen. Yeah. You know, I tell you, I believe, okay, I'm going to paint a picture that I don't know whether we'll ever see it or not, but, and I'm talking about equality now. Can you imagine a world where people were treated equally. Okay. Mm-hmm. Now, it's okay with, if you have skills that, and there's value, in certain areas, in this country where if you are a scientist or you're a doctor, you're a high level doctor. Okay. All right. You may make a little bit more money or more money than I do. However, I should at least be able to survive, and everybody should be able to work if they have the ability to work. Now, those bookers that don't want to work, hey, then you got a problem there. All right. But everybody should be able, there's enough out here. I tell you what, everybody will be prosperous, and even the ones that are more prosperous than others right now, they can still have their wealth and still share, because we are now sharing an area where everybody is surviving, everybody's building, and everybody's thriving. And it is proven throughout society that when man and woman, when they work together, things happen. That's why you find out if there's a successful marriage, that's because that man and woman is working together. Mm-hmm. If you got a successful mm-hmm. company, everybody is pulling their own weight and they are working together. But the atmosphere has to be conducive to you being able to work together harmoniously and putting things together. It's just like any piece of machinery. You've got to have the motor, you got to have the framework, you have to have the mechanisms in order to make these things work. All I'm saying is the society as a whole, this is why they're stupid. You don't build, and I've said this before, you don't build a building from the top down. You start with a foundation.
That part.
All right? You start with a foundation. Okay? Amen. Now, the people out here that's working and doing the construction and everything, this is your foundation moving on up, and you can have a stronger building.
Right.
And you would rather have a foundation than have your building on sinking sand.
And they spend the most time, if they're good, on the foundation.
That's it.
They spend the most time on that part of the building, because if they don't get that right, guess what's going to happen?
It's going to collapse.
Structural damage. Exactly. Just like that condo that collapsed.
That's right. Down in Florida, and all those people, over 100 some odd people were never found.
Right. You got to have the, and since those hurricanes have come through and eroded the foundation of those homes, so you can see, you know, where there used to be a backyard, but now there's just a piece of pool hanging there. You can't live there anymore.
That's right.
If the foundation is not right. Uh-huh. It's the most important part of the structure. And, you know, Jesus, you know, even made that perfectly clear to us. So you would think that you would get that's not just a physical thing. It's a spiritual thing.
That's right.
As well. Yeah. You got to have the right spiritual foundation in your life, whether we're talking about a relationship with a spouse or a child. All of it must be spiritually founded in Jesus Christ. If you if you want it to be blessed, and I'm not saying you won't
come
have
on
any
now.
Problems. People mess up blessings all the time. But if you want to be able to cry out to the Lord and say, okay, Jesus, your word says raise a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. This joker may be clowning, but I did what you told me to do. I get to claim that promise over his child's life. Mm-hmm. I can't do that if I was out partying every weekend, smoking weed, and leaving you with this person and that person and this person and that person. You know, and they in and out of foster care and, you know, playing games with their daddy who's trying to be a daddy, but because I don't like him no more. I mean, you see what I'm saying? All that kind of foolishness. You can't claim no promises when you doing all that.
Yeah. Right. Like you said, the spiritual foundation is weak. And the thing, that's why, I remember, you remember days when you would walk in, we're talking about even before, I'm talking pre-COVID now. And going back several years now, you walk into the church and you couldn't find a seat. You walk into a church.
You can have your pick.
Wherever you want to sit. Wherever. Right. Yes, absolutely. Because that spiritual foundation is weak, Danny. Mm-hmm. People aren't getting fed spiritually. Please continue, sir.
You know, it's so important that to be the good shepherd. I mean, that's a representation of what each pastor should be. Mm. if you are there for any other reason, doing the will of God,
all right.
If you standing up there for any, even if you started out and then lost your way, you still in a bad way. Many people say, well, man, you sound like a preacher, this blah blah. I say, I just talk with the things that life has shown me that I must learn and I must know and I must read for understanding. So I'm going to give you whatever I'm saying to you from a biblical point of view. That's what I'm going to do. That don't mean I'm supposed to run up there in the pulpit.
Right.
You know, my ministry, the ministry that God has for me may be a bus stop ministry.
Okay. It may
be a ministry on standing on top of a 50-foot pole.
All right.
You know what I mean? And I have witnessed this, and God has showed me that in the ugliest of situations that I found myself throughout this working life, now retired, he always sent a ram in the bush to show me there's another godly lineman that lives. He did that for me. And those, it's not a lot of them, but those that I met.